Blog Talk Radio.
I got to start off that this is brought to you by my two national sponsors. We got Adidas and we got Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So, you know, I got to give them their due. They just do. So give me about 30 seconds and we'll be rolling. Adidas, national sponsor here for the four quarters of Coach Lee, and we also got Enterprise.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Yeah, pick Enterprise. Why? Because we will pick you up. Wherever you are, wherever you got to go. Boop, there goes the kickoff. We already starting rocking and rolling right here with four quarters with Coach Lee. For those in the chat room, if you want to chat and drop a couple of questions, I am looking at the chat board. For those who want to call in, who are on the chat and want to call in and talk a little bit when we go to the five-minute drive, hey, you can dial 347-826-7278. Once again, that's 347-826-7278. Make sure you press number one. We got a new function there if you want to get in or if you just want to listen in. It's all up to you. It's what you want to do. But you know what? I'm Coach Lee, and I like going deep on the first play. So you know what? We're going to come out in this first quarter, and we're going to talk about what's going on the Ning board, the womenstacklefootball.ning.com. Last week, I was just looking over, you know, some of the scores from the first week of football, which happened to be the IWFL. But see, I'm all national football. I don't care what league you're in. I just love football, and I love football so much that I follow all football. But something really got under my skin as a coach. And the bottom line is we have a long ways to go, women football players, women football coaches, women football owners, women football leagues. We got a long way to go. How did I come up with that, and why did I come up with that? You know, I was just looking over the scores over the last week's games and noticed a big difference in the win and loss column in the scores. In the 19 games that was played in week one of this season on April 11th, it came to my attention that the winning team scored 710 points. That's right, 710 points, while the losing team only scored a total of 69 points. You know, you might call me crazy or something, but, you know, that's an average of a 37-3 game. You know, and last week on my last show, we talked about the product, you know, being that the fans would want to come back and see it. I don't want to see a blowout. I want to see a game. I don't care if I'm seeing the NFL. I don't care if I'm watching college football, Division I, II, or III, JC football, high school football, JV football, Foster football, Pop Warner football, women's football, you know, kindergarten football. I want to see a game. And, you know, it's very disturbing to see that the average score was 37-3. Come on, y'all. Coaches, how could we get to that point? How can we get to that point where we're losing on the average by 34 points? 34-point difference out of 19 games. Are we doing any justice as coaches to our women football players? Are we sitting up there playing Madden and coming home? I mean, going to practice after coming from home and playing Madden and giving us, you know, giving the girls some new plays off of Madden, 2009 now? You know, that's what's coming out this summer. What are we doing, coaches? There's no way in the world that a good coach will lose a game 89-0, 77-0, 69-7. Come on. What are we doing? I don't care. The bottom line is we got to coach these ladies up. And you got to find something that you can do well with the group of ladies that you have. You should be able to go down the field and score. It's not like you're playing against teams they got veterans that have been on the team for 8, 9, 10 years. All these teams are in the same situation, just like you and I. But it comes down to one main thing, fellas. Ladies, you got to recruit. You got to recruit. If you're not recruiting and you're just thinking, putting in an ad in the paper and saying, hey, there's a women's football team in your town and people are going to flock and come out like, you know, it's the hottest thing like hotcakes, wrong. It ain't happening. You got to get out there and recruit, okay? The bottom line is, we got to put out a good product, and we still have a long ways to go. But I'll give you some of the replies that persist here on the Women's Tackle Football Group.meme.com board under the title, We Have a Long Ways to Go. One emailer named Shannon says, I agree. I believe there should be an emphasis on teaching the game of football. You must know how to play in order to win. And then she has the initials or acronyms, ASK, ACTS, and it stands for Always Seek to Know. There is no shame in not knowing, only in not wanting to learn should you have shame. So, again, she's in agreement. That's Shannon. We have Thomas O'Boyle Jr., who also left a message there. And he says, I've been saying this for the last 3 years, coach. Only a few coaches teach the next level of football. We need to teach them everything, all phases. Then we had the sports geek. I agree with Coach Lee. Hey, I'm not trying to say that I'm the guru, but like I said, I am pushing this movement forward into the best possible position that we can put it in. And these are the things that I seek and I see coming from my 28, 32-year background of football. Okay? I agree with Coach Lee. This is sports geeks. After watching games from last week, I am surprised on some of the scores and some of the action of some of the teams. I hope they do get better as the season moves on. Hey, I believe it's going to get better, but you know what? It's just like, what's that? Your first impression is your last impression? So if you got sponsors and you got fans in the game and you getting your fanny whooped, you know, 55-0, you think they coming back? I don't think so. Coach Lee don't play that. But anyway, I'm going to keep on continuing because, you know, we go in deep here in the first quarter because you are on with Coach Lee, four quarters with Coach Lee. If you want to call in, you can always drop me in at area code 347-826-7278 right here on WFB Talk Continues. Moving on. Of course, I respond back to people and, you know, hey. But anyway, we had a person named Iris who's on the board, and their reply was, I know what you mean. The KC Storm lost 77-0 against the Slam, and as a fan, it's hard watching your girls suffer that. But she feels, because in my conversation there, I felt that we got to get together, conduct these football camps, coaches being able to rub elbows and talk about football and how we transcend this game of women's football in comparison to other games that we coach with the boys. But she said, but one camp wouldn't help the Storm get into the end zone. They have some coaches with NFL experience and some semi-pro experience teaching these ladies. But it wasn't enough. You know what? And I feel you on that. But just because you play in the NFL and just because you coach NFL players don't mean you know how to coach. You got to remember, coaches that coach in the NFL coach the best athletes in the world. It is not much coaching you have to do to teach a professional what they're doing. It's more mental on the top level of the NFL. So, you know, I'm in agreement with that. You can have the best coaches that played, you know, the NFL. But trust me, 9 times out of 10, those coaches who played in the NFL can't teach you how to be a good player. You know why? Because they were a good player. They didn't have to work as hard as the smallest person on the team or the slowest person on the team to get recognized as a football player. They was given the red carpet treatment. They don't know how they got better. They just know they were good. So, again, there's a difference between a good player and a good coach. And you got to understand that. Because you are four quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm just giving it to you like I give it to you in the first quarter. Because we want to come out and set the tone, you know. We want to come out and hit. We want to come out and score. We want to step on your neck right in the first quarter. We want to let you know that you are not in this game to win it. We are. We're going to win this game. But we still got a long ways to go, you know. It's just work out that way, you know. Then we have one more, last response, and I'm not going to go through everybody, but we had Sarah Wilson response. It's like a catch-22. The teams are not competitive, then how are they going to draw coaches that want to be there? But the teams will not be competitive until they draw good coaches. I'll be interested to see the National Women's Football Camp, especially if it's in Vegas. That's a cool trip. I didn't even read that. That was just posted up 30 minutes ago. But, yeah, it is a catch-22. But, like, when I get calls from other teams, from player owners, they say, Coach, how can I find coaches? You got to go to a winning program. You know what I'm saying? Go to a winning high school program and ask, could the head coach be your coach? If not the head coach, the offensive coordinator. If not the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. If not those people, then ask for the JV coach. Everybody wants an opportunity to be a head coach. Trust me. I've been an assistant coach. Didn't like it. Because I always was sitting behind a coach that didn't know what the heck they were doing. But you know what? As assistant coach, you got to follow the lead of the head coach. And if they want to do something stupid, then guess what? We got to follow that rule. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the bottom line is you got to go to a winning program. Find a semi-pro team that has a winning program. You have to go out there for those players that are owners of teams. You got to seek the best if you want to be the best. I am sorry. You just have to. That is the bottom line. So, again, we got a long ways to go. And how do I figure we can work this out? Again, getting together on a national level and talking about the do's and the don'ts, the wills and the coulds, bees and the how bees and should bees. That's what it should be going on. And like I said, yes, I'm promoting a women's national football camp. Why? Because it's needed. It will be here in Las Vegas on January 7th through the 11th, 2010. So start saving up your pennies so that you can get out here, learn from the best that women's football have to offer, take it back home, and put it down so that you're not losing game 77-0 or 81-0 or 55-0 or whatever the score may be. You know, we got to have more competitive games. So, you know what? The quarter goes by so fast when you're having so much fun and when you're just hitting and knocking people out and running around the field and getting first downs and throwing the ball and running people over. Man, first quarter is up and over, and we're going to move on because you know what? That is the end of the quarter.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car's here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Again, you better pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And for our second national sponsor, Adidas, that's where it's at, my Adidas. Now, we just finished the first quarter stepping on toes, stepping on necks, knocking people out, running them over, passing, scoring touchdowns. Now it's time for that second quarter, letting them know that, you know what, that was only one quarter of the game. You got three more quarters to be down with us here with four quarters with Coach Lee. He's putting it down. He's going around. He's making it all over town. And you can join him here at WFB Talks Continue, or you can call in at 347-826-7278. The next thing, you know, people have been emailing me saying, Coach, how come you don't have an agenda up to let us know what's going to be on your show? I'm a coach. I ain't going to give you my playbook and let you know what I'm going to run against you. You need to tune in and find out what's going down. That's how football goes down, and that's how we do it around this town here in Las Vegas. I'm not going to give you the rundown. Now, I might give you my special guest, but that's like giving you the location of where we're going to play the game. So you got to tune in each and every week, four quarters with Coach Lee. You know, that's how it got to be. So now, my next topic in the second quarter here, again, comes from the Ning Board. That is Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com, and that topic is teams in one area or one market. And it kind of ties into we have a long ways to go. But my theory on that is, you know what? There's no such thing as a saturated market in women's football. You're trying to tell me that you think the market is saturated when we only have maybe 100 teams nationwide, and you might have a team that's in a 50-mile radius? You know, it goes back to recruiting, recruiting, and recruiting. And you know what? My guest tonight, Coach Harvey Hyde, we're going to talk about that, you know, as a college coach and going out there and recruiting kids from one area to another area. It's the same mentality that we have to take here as women football coaches, teams, and owners. But the bottom line is this. There is no such thing as saturated market. You know, if your roster can only have 45 people on the roster, you trying to tell me if you were in a town with 20,000 people and half of them were women, you got 10,000 women to select from and you can't get 45 people to play on your team, you're doing something wrong. It's not that the women aren't out there that are not interested. They don't know. They don't know that there's a team in your town, let alone two or three other teams. Why? Because we don't recruit. We don't go out and do. We don't go out and make it be known that we, you know, we play football. We're comfortable in our surroundings. You know, we're only going to recruit the people that we know within in our little bunch, in our little group. So that means if I'm going to a bar, guess what? I'm going to recruit a football player at the bar. Guess what? That's the wrong place. that's the wrong place. You might find one, two folks at the bar that might want to play, but you got to get out there where the athletes are. You got to get out there with the park and in the park and recs. You got to get out there for the corporate challenge. I know here in Las Vegas we have a big deal called corporate challenge, and this is all the top businesses here in town that have this Olympics, and they have track and field. Matter of fact, I'm going on Wednesday to start recruiting for next year. They have tennis, they have swimmers, they have you name the sport, darts, you know, archery. You know, you name it. It is like the mini Olympics here in Las Vegas, and you have over 26,000 participants. And out of that 26,000 participants, we probably have at least 8,000 to 10,000 women who are athletic and who want to be involved in competitive sports. So, again, saturated market. No. If another team pulled up here in Vegas, I wouldn't mind. But you know what? I'm going to be recruiting my tailbone off to make sure that I get the best, because when somebody steps into your little area, either you're going to play ball or you're going to fall. And that what tends to happen with teams in these so-called saturated markets. You're so lazy and don't want to get off your butt and said, I got a 50-mile radius that you can't touch. You know, I got all the women in here, but all the women in that 50-mile radius don't know crap about you, don't even know about the team, you know. Saturated market. Let's talk about L.A. market. You got four teams in L.A. You got the SoCal Breakers, you got the California Lynx, you got the L.A. Amazon, and you got the California Quake. And all those teams have a full roster of at least 28 players that I know of. You know, 28 times 4 is, what, 100 and maybe 16? I don't know if I got my math on that one right. But, yeah, what is that, 112, I think. Yeah, there we go. That's only 112 women playing tackle football out of 13 million people that live within a 100-mile radius of Los Angeles. You trying to tell me that that's a saturated market? No, it takes hustle. It takes desire and determination to make sure that you have the best team. I commend Coach Bartley, even though I smoked a couple of California Lynx, and that's his shout-out to him, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? He put together a great product. He has some good girls out there. And somebody said, well, he's taking those girls away from the other teams. They wouldn't even play for the other teams because they didn't even know about the other teams. So how can you say that? The bottom line is get off your butt, get out there and recruit, and put the best players out on the field. Get out, pick up every rock and cranny that's in your community, and find you the athletes to play football. That's what you have to do. So, again, saturated market, I don't want to hear it. You got New York. New York got how many teams? The Nimitz, the Shark, the Justice. Then you got the New Jersey Titans, all in the small quarters. You know, you got Empire State, the Roar. Okay, you got the, what's that, Binghamton. I can't even think of the names right now. But that's six teams within probably 100, 150 miles from each other. I think that's pretty competitive. I think it's very cheap and affordable for those owners if they could all play each other. That would be a great conference, you know, and that's what we got to do, consolidate. So to say saturate, I have to disagree, you know. I definitely have to disagree on the saturated markets. It's a matter of getting off your tailbone, getting up there, and getting your recruit on. You know, let me check in real quick and see if there's any questions here in the chat room. Wow. Don't know, because there's just so much stuff going on here. You know, the WFB talk board continue. BJ and them are just doing their thing, you know. So that's almost like a little timeout here so I can get a little water break. Because you know what? I've been running at the mouth, and, you know, I got to get a water break. So give me a timeout, 2 seconds. All right, I'm back. So you had to get a little lemonade, a little Gatorade, because that's what football is all about. You get out there and you start communicating. You start yelling. You start running from sideline to sideline. You start hitting. You do all the things about football. And that's what we're talking about here with Coach Lee. We're talking about these things, getting it done, getting it ready, and, you know, scoring touchdowns, stopping a team, you know. I had to stop the Lynx like four times in the red zone. I had to dig in deep, tell my girls, hey, you got to dig in deep and make it happen. They cannot score. You got to be able to stop them. Don't give them the uppity ups and thinking that if they score, they end the game. You know, we're pretty controlled as coaches. And, you know, we get it going, and it's our job, again, to motivate you as football players to make sure that you get the job done. But going back to the last part of the saturated markets, you know, let it be what it is. If we can add 35 more players playing women's football, then that's great. Again, most teams only have a roster of 30 to 35 players. So for another team to come into the market and be able to put up, hey, it's all good. You know, that's one up. One up for women's football. One more team added to the list. 35 more players playing this game. You know, another Saturday night lights or switches on playing football. That's what it's going to take, is to make sure that people know about women's football. Hell, this morning, I just got up this morning on Fox Sports, not Fox Sports West, but on our Fox News here, our Fox affiliated, they were talking to the roller derby girls. It's a new team here in Las Vegas, and it's two teams. And they were in different leagues, but guess what? They're on the news at the same time and having these little matches so that they can bring awareness to Las Vegas that the roller derby is here and here to stay. So, again, you know, if they can do it, one does flat track and one does bank track. Different leagues, same roller derby, same fighting, same pushing, but you know what? They're in it to promote with each other. Again, saturated market does not do anything but help promote the game of football. The more, the merrier. If that's the case, look at all the high schools in your town. You trying to say that it's saturated? No. It's giving opportunities for those who want to play to play. So we are there. We are almost at halftime. Again, we have about the two-minute warning here. And, again, strategy is key at the two-minute, because you want to go into halftime with the momentum, the confidence, and, of course, the league. You want to have the league as you're going into halftime, you know. But if you're behind, you got to find that play. You know, block that field goal, you know, not let them score. You know, make that big hit to get everybody fired up. Because in this past weekend's game, it was some big hits. I've had many fans come down and say, wow, I didn't know women can hit like that. I didn't know that women can hit like that. It was some big hits. And actually on the kneeing board, I think my editor, film editor, already put up a little video, a little 2 minute and 30 second video highlight film of our last game, which is great, you know. And I hope that all the teams do that, because again, that is what it takes to help promote football. We don't need the whole game. Get the highlights and put them up. That's what the kneeing board is all about. That's where I'm getting this information from. So we are working. We are making it happen, and we are going into halftime. You know, it's always brought to us by, you know who, our sponsors.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Again, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And also, from our other national sponsor for this Four Quarters with Coach Lee, we got Adidas.
My Adidas walk through concrete doors and roll ball over Coliseum floor. I stepped on stage at Lot 8, all the people gave and of course I played. And I was speakers, I did speak. I wore my sneakers, but I'm not a thief.
You know what? My Adidas, again, national sponsor right here, right now, looking for women's football. But is women's football ready for a national sponsor? Because in this day, this age, this economy, you got to work with your sponsor. You got to prove that you have buying power. If you don't have any buying power, you ain't getting no, and you ain't having no, and you won't be able to indulge in any sponsorship if you can't prove that you have a fan base, that you have buying power, because that's what they're in the money for. I mean, they're in the business for. They're in the business to give you money to make more money off of you. So, again, support Adidas. Support Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Why? Because they're reaching out trying to support you. All right. We are in the third quarter. We are in the third quarter, and we just talked it up. You know, a lot of you guys that are listening went into halftime for the very first time, and you probably seen something funny, something ugly, and something mean in your coach, be it whatever end of the score you was on. I mean, if you was kicking butt and up 35, 42, nothing, it was probably laid back, kick back, and whatever. You know, if you were down 35, nothing, 42, nothing at halftime, the coach probably went off. And if it was a close game, you probably seen a motivating side of your coach. Come on, we can do it. We can make this happen. All we got to do is block. Hold your block. Stay on your block. Make that tackle. Stop arm tackling. We got to stop them. Come on, we got to shut them out. That's what coaches are talking about. Either or, we're winning or we are losing. That's how we do it as coaches. And again, you are with Coach Lee. Four quarters with Coach Lee. Here on WFB Talk continues. For those who are possibly listening in or on the internet or on the phone, you can always reach us at 347-826-7278. Again, 347-826-2778. You can always reach me anytime during the week, at night, whenever, whatever, whatever. Just hit me up at Las Vegas Showgirls with a Z at yahoo.com. And I'd love, and I would gladly return any email that comes my direction. And if you have a topic or discussion, just let me know, and we'll roll with it. At this point in time, because I'm going to have Coach Harvey Hyde in, we're going to have to kind of change the format just a little bit. If there is anyone on the line, please chirp them in one at a time and see if they have any questions. I'll give you about 30 seconds, see? Just pop them in if you want to. If they're there, bring them on. All right. We rocking and rolling. I'm waiting and debating. Y'all must like hearing Coach lead in because that's how it works. Because I can talk. I'm a motivator. I can make it happen. But, again, I'm trying to give my new fans here an opportunity to hear and talk with Coach Lee, discuss some things, and make things happen. If I don't have them, hey, we just move on, you know, because that's just how we roll. All right, so we're going to roll on into the next quarter, the third quarter, and we're going to come out again. I love the Women's Tackle Football Group, .neen.com. It is a great place to socialize. It's a great place to network. It's a great place to talk about opportunities and things that will be taking place here for women's football. You know, it's just working that way. And I'm actually looking for my playbook here. I had some things lined up here, and all of a sudden, my computer's working a little slow, a tad bit slow. But you know what? Let's go into the topic right here. Teams that take off a year or two, you know, what do you think about that? You know, I know the economy is hard and things are going down. And again, it was another hot topic here on the Ning board. Teams that take a year off. What do you think about teams taking a year or two off to regroup? Have they been able to regroup and come back? Does this mean that they won't be back? Is it hard to get the team restarted after a layoff? Well, as you can see, once a team gets off the map for a year, it is definitely hard to get back rolling. And the teams that have made it back successfully are having the hard times, i.e., the Houston Energy. I mean, they're not the Houston Energy of old.
Coach Wiggins got a lot of things that he got to deal with, and I understand it's like starting from scratch. You know, you might have, you know, 4 to 5 veterans back, but you don't have that nucleus, that tangible, know everything that goes on with football, you know, type of situation. And there's a lot of other teams out there. But, again, there's a few comments about that. This is from Mr. Thomas O'Boyle. Being one of those teams in the small market that has struggled to get going, I've been out of the loop for 2 years, and it's just hard getting back in. And it takes an act of Congress and to get lucky for me to be back by 2010. So again, it is hard as Coach O'Boyle. I think he's from Kentucky. You got Imani Love here. It says it's hard to start back up. Once they're gone, they're gone. And I have to feel for that. That is kind of true. You know, once a team leaves, it is so hard to get back rolling because it took you so long to get the momentum going. And people all of a sudden start looking for you when you leave. And when you're gone, they feel you're gone and they don't come back. We got Brandon Wright here who says, well, have to watch some teams who know they may come back and be better than ever. Look at the entire AFL. They're taking the 2009 year off, and he starts laughing, you know. Well, the whole league took the year off, and, you know, that's the big question with the Arena Football League. Are they coming back? I have a few friends that are involved in the Arena Football, and out of the 18 teams, I think 14 have said they're coming back. There's only 4 teams that are not coming back. But I think there's a big meeting this Friday that's going to talk about the AFL and ownership and what's going on. Again, it's hard, you know. It's definitely hard. It's just like a player. It's hard to get back out there, back in the scene, and know what's going on. We have Christina Hutchison, who I know from back when she was playing for the New Mexico Burn, moved to Houston, played for the Houston Cyclones last year, and now she's on the Houston Energy. She says the Energy took last season off, and we're coming back strong. So it can be done. Yes, it can be done if the finances are there, but if you don't have the right players, you could be doomed. You could be doomed. Who else we have on here? We have Stephanie Bowles, who says, I think it really depends on the reasons the different teams have had to take off. If it's for financial reasons, they can either go away or come back. What else they say? I think it really depends on the owners, coaching staff, and the desire of the players. All three play a huge factor in success of every team. The success is contingent on the entire organization. So, again, as a player, she's saying it got to be everybody. All three levels have to want to make this happen. You have the players who want to come back and have the desire to play. You got to have the coaches who want to have the desire to coach. And you got to have the owners, not only with the desire to be an owner, but to be financially sound to make this happen. You know, it's deep like that. And at times, you know, it works out that way. So, you know, we are looking at what's going on. And there's a lot of teams that popped up. And my whole analysis is this. You know, over the last 10 years that I've researched women's football, and the majority of teams that have taken off have not come back as that particular team. They have come back as a reincarnation of that team, i.e. the Arizona Caliente are now the Phoenix Prowlers. When I joined the WPFL, we had the Aftershock out of Long Beach, but a lot of those players have dispersed and gone over to the L.A. Amazon, the California Quake, and it might be a handful that might be playing with the Breakers and also might be playing with the Lynx, because I wasn't familiar with the names and teams at that point in time. You have the resurgence of other teams, you know, which actually tips me to a quick topic, but, you know, it was pretty interesting that's dealing with ownership and stuff like that. But what about the teams that start up and come up with these creative names and beautiful logos and fake the funk and get into these leagues and don't play games? I mean, I know we are a victim of that with you know, buying into these owners who say they got this, that, and whatever. And, you know, 2 weeks before the season start, they're nowhere to be around. They ain't showed up. They haven't called. They haven't returned no emails. They haven't done anything. Now, I think that's full of crap, you know. And that's one thing that I can't tolerate is somebody who's going to say that they got something, and in reality, they ain't got nothing. And that has gone on, I know, here with the in the WFA, and it had nothing to do with league. You know, everybody's like wondering, what happened to the league? Why is the league allowing forfeits? It's not the league, you guys. Come on, be real. It's the teams. It's the fake owners who said they got 60 girls on their team, that said they got $20,000 in the bank to bankroll this thing, and when it comes down to it, they don't have anything. They're trying to bankroll off of the players. They're trying to hope they get 50 players and make them pay $1,000 each. They're bankrolling $50,000 off of the players, not out of their pocket. So I don't respect those owners. I don't respect those teams. And those type of flakes, we got to get up out of here because they are ruining football. No matter what league, every league is going through that and have gone through that. Some leagues are trying to cover it up. That's fine. But you know what? The cream always rises to the top. And it is what it is, you know. I just shoot straight, and I tell it like I know it, you know. And some people don't like that, but the fact is, you have to be able to do what you do, and you got to be able. You know, my grandfather always told me, you only have one thing in life that you can give to somebody, and I always ask him what, and he always said your word. That's all you can give a person. You got to live by your word. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. That's all said and done. And I live by that every day. When I say I'm going to do something, be it as a coach and I'm telling the player, if you're going to start, you're starting, or you ain't starting, you're not starting, that's my word. My word is bond, period, point blank. And we got owners out there that are definitely flakes out there that are not making it right for women's football. And it's bad on all of us because they're part of our product. They are a part of our product. And I watch some of the other boards, and they talk smack about this team, that team, and why they're not around. You know, it had nothing to do with the league. It had something to do with the flaky flakes, okay, the corn flakes, the frosted flakes, and all those other good things. So, again, you know, that's one of those things that really burn me because here we are promoting 2 months out to get people to our game, making posters with these logos on there and our media books and all these other good things for promoting, and then all of a sudden the team ain't going to show up. So now we're short a game. So, hey, but I'm going to play me a football game. I don't care. We'll find 25 girls on the street and play, and I'll buy them equipment just to get a game going because, you know what, I can't disappoint my fans. As an owner of a team, if I say you got a season ticket and it's for four games, then it's for four games. So the bottom line is it got to happen. So you know what? We're closing down quarter number three. I'm going to see if I can get Coach on the line. You know, Coach should be calling in any time. And it is time to rock and roll. You know I always got to end my quarters with what? Sponsor time. So let me dilly and dally it. Some of these things here to see if I can get my sponsors back up here. In the meantime, I'm trying to use my other hand because you got to be multitasked as a coach. You got to be multitasked as a coach in order to be able to run your offense, run your defense, run your special teams. So I think I can pull this off. So here we go. I'm going to hit the send button over here, and I'm going to push the play button for the commercial.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
John, your car is here.
Go get him, Tiger.
When you're hitting the road for business,
good luck.
Enterprise will pick you up and get you on the road to success. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Oh, yeah. We'll pick you up. We'll pick you up. We will pick you up because we chose Enterprise. So, again, make sure that you pick Enterprise. Hey, Coach Ty.
I'm on the other line calling you.
All right. I'm just checking on you. Huh? You got it. All right. All right. I just got to hold the Coach Hyde. He said he's calling in right now. So let's go ahead and get to our second commercial, as soon as this commercial's over it, we should be rolling with Coach High. So here we go, my national sponsor. Yeah, we back. That's Adidas. Adidas brought to you by Adidas for you in four quarters with Coach Lee. And I think I got Coach Hyde online. Coach Hyde, are you there?
Yeah, you've got me here there, Deion, the Flea Lee.
Hey, what's happening, big boss?
Well, I tell you what, it's great to be with you tonight. I just was at a meeting at the Rose Bowl, and I said I had to excuse myself. I said I've got something bigger than the granddaddy of all of them. And that's being on Coach Deion Lee's show. So I'm with you, and I want to thank you for the invitation. And it, gosh darn it, I've seen you've gone a long ways from a player to a coach to now a radio host.
Hey, man, it's my personality. You know, Flea, you know me from back at Long Beach State. And, you know, I'm honored to have you as my first guest on my show. This is my second show. And it's syndicated worldwide, and we have fans here and there, and it's, you know, it's on the Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, I focus and adjusted my coaching style off of you. When you came to Long Beach State under with George Allen, and our Long Beach State program was in the toilet, as I put it, and you guys really went out there and recruited some players. What were some of the keys that you came in with your attitude of turning Long Beach State around?
Well, you know, I had 4-year coaching experience, and, of course, George Allen, you know, his name is recognizable not only in college, which was a long time ago when he was the head coach at Whittier College and then went into the NFL and coached with the Bears and the Rams and so on. So in approaching Long Beach State after we approached the University of Hawaii, I did, and also UNLV is you know, it all comes from talent. And Long Beach State had a great location, a great school and everything, but it seems as though the talent of the players they were recruiting was the players that were players sometimes that weren't offered scholarships to universities that they had to compete against.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had great players. I mean, we had players that went into the NFL that were there before me.
Right.
But there weren't enough of them to compete against a lot of the teams that we were playing against. So the first thing we had to do is upgrade our recruiting. We had to get the same players that everybody else was after. We didn't have to get all the players, but we needed to get our share of those players. And it was important to instill into the staff that was at Long Beach State that the players that we have to get, what makes great coaching is great players. And I had to explain to them how to go out and how to raise their level of expectation as far as recruiting the type of players that we would have a chance to have a winning season against the type of teams we're playing. Then at the same time, we had to encourage the players that were there at Long Beach State that the losing or the attitude, and that's over with.
Right.
It's time now for you to believe that we are going to turn this program around and we are going to win. We're going to take the field as a different individual and that it's a different team as you've ever taken the field before. And we are able to do that through a lot of hard work. In fact, in 1 year, I think we went, I don't know what your first year, what the record was before we came. Maybe you won one game, 1-10 or whatever.
We went 2-10.
2-10, we came back our first year, and we had a winning season and going 6-5. And, you know, we had to play a team such as Clemson and other teams where really we weren't at that level of competition yet or maybe never would be because that's one of the top elite college football programs in America.
Right.
But we played those programs. We had great players that came into our program. And, Coach, you know as well as I do, not only were you a great player and an all-city player and all this and that and came from a winning high school program, but we brought the lights of Terrell Davis to Long Beach State,
right.
to to Mike McCoy, a quarterback, to
right, Jay Walker.
Both of these players have played in the NFL. Terrell was the most valuable player in the Super Bowl and should someday go into the Hall of Fame in the NFL. At least I feel he should for what he accomplished. John Elway never won a Super Bowl without Terrell Davis. And not that John Elway's not a great player,
right,
but you got to have great players surrounding you and you got to have a running game to win it all. So we turned that program around. We had a great experience down there. Unfortunately, Coach Allen passed away. I had other things going on and could not stay at Long Beach State. I had my radio career going, and I had to get back and do that. And Coach Willie Brown became the head coach there. And I'm not sure if you had another year there with Coach Brown or you were a senior that last year.
I had 2 years left. I actually had 1 year left when we dropped our program. But, you know, why I got you on the show is because you're such a motivating factor in football. And, you know, that recruiting aspect and that changing of a program around. You know, in women's football today, our product is kind of soft. You have teams that are strong, and they play against teams that are weak. And the scores wind up being like 77-0, like this past weekend, or 85-10. You know, and that's not a good product. But I'm trying to tell the teams and the owners that, hey, you got to get good coaches in there that's going to teach the game, you know, of football and get out there and recruit. They think that you can just put your name out there like Long Beach State, say, hey, you know, Coach Hyde is coaching at Long Beach State now. Now you know that that's not enough. It's a lot of things you have to do and court these players to come out and play. Am I right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. You have to go out and recruit them, and you have to tell them why it's a great opportunity for them to enjoy themselves and do something they've always wanted to do, like in your situation where a young lady hasn't had the opportunity to go out and compete, and she's watching, she's a football fan, and she wants to get out and try it and do it. And if you never try it when you're young, you always look back on your life saying, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I'd have done that.
Right.
And in your situation, as far as your semi-pro or pro women's football league, it's been like you have done in Las Vegas. It has become a very fashionable sport as well as a hard-hitting sport. But you have young ladies out there who are models. You have young ladies out there that are mothers. You have young ladies out there that work 10 hours a day but yet find time to come out and practice 2 hours a day and travel with your team and so on. And it's important, too, that everyone you play makes the same effort. Otherwise, it's not fair for their kids and your girls to play without the same ammunition. It's not fair. I don't think it's a great experience to go out and get beaten 70-0. It's not fun. And that was our point at Long Beach State when we went there. Hey, if we're going to play these teams, then you've got to give us the same type of opportunity to get the same type of players so we can compete. It's not fun to schedule what I used to call body bag games. If
yeah.
it's so much fun, then let the college president's son be the quarterback and see how he likes it when he watches his son get sacked and smacked every single play. So I think you're exactly right. I think that the teams that are out there that you're playing, they've got to have the same type of pride that you have and determination that you have and the same skills that you teach your young ladies from the beginning of learning how to get in a stance and how to tackle and use the techniques that are necessary to be a good football player so that these girls have a chance to be proud of what they're doing for the number of hours that they put in it. And when you compete on a Saturday or Sunday when you play each other, that it is actually a ball game.
Right. Yes, we just had a ball game this past weekend. We played against the California Lynx, and we wind up winning 19-6. But it was a hard-hitting, competitive game. And, you know, a win is a win for me. You know, I don't care if I won 19-18. I won. But you know what? It's about putting on the show. It's about putting on something that fans want to come back. And that's what I've been driving in. And that's part of the reason why I've taken on this show aspect of getting the word out there that it's just not me promoting this. I mean, how many years have you coached, Coach? I mean,
coached 25 years. Yeah, 25 years.
25 years, and you've been out of coaching for the last, 15 of those,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a long time. I've been out of – because if I say give you too much information, Dion, you figure out how old I am.
You know, I know. I was thinking about that, and on the way in, I say, wow, I was with coaching, and then Wow, coaches, man, I put a number
coaches
on you, coach.
Coaches on Social Security, man.
Definitely that. So, you know, like I said, you're one of the coaches that have coached some great players, and I know you are a legend here, just like the Tark the Shark in basketball. Coach Harvey Hyde is a legend here in Las Vegas, and again, two of your well-known players that played in the NFL is, of course, Icky Woods, who owns a team, which is a Cincinnati Sizzle, and then you got Randall Cunningham that is here in Vegas that I've talked to on a couple occasions, and he's been willing to work with us, you know. And, well, you know, what are your thoughts about that? Being able to coach two top-notch players, you know, if Icky didn't get hurt, you know, he could have been an all-pro Hall of Fame type of running back as well.
He would have been. And Randall, I still feel, should be in the College Football Hall of Fame as well as the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Randall was a great quarterback in college football. Not only as a quarterback, he was an All-American punter, Kodak All-American punter.
Yes.
He went into the NFL, was the first quarterback selected in his year as far as a draft. I'd like to take credit and say that I'm a great football coach, but I'm only a great football coach because I was able to surround myself with great coaches and great players. I'm one that always figured out that it takes a staff and it takes players to compete. You've got to recruit them, you've got to keep them, you've got to graduate them, and you got to motivate them. And you got to understand that they're kids. You got to understand that they maybe be big bodies. They might weigh 300 pounds, but they're 17 years old and they're homesick. And there's a lot of other things that are just as important as football to these young kids, like a girlfriend or a girlfriend at home that they miss. And you don't want them dropping out of college because of that. I always used to worry about the kid who wasn't homesick. The kid that was homesick, I said, heck, that kid comes from a family or someone loves him. The kid that never was homesick, I used to worry about him. I used to talk to him every day, because that means he didn't have anyone that cared about him, or he didn't love anybody, or no one loved him. So, you know, there's a lot to being a teacher, and a coach is a teacher. A coach is a parent. A coach is someone who will listen to people's problems and help solve them. And you show that you care about them and you love them, and when you show a player that you love them, those players will do anything for you to help you be successful along with the team.
Yes, definitely. And that's the same momentum that I take in coaching the women's football. I care. My ears are open. I listen. They have issues at home. They have issues at work, you know, and they want to come out there, and that's their relief time to come out and just hit somebody and to learn a new game, you know. So I've taken all those things from the coaching staff that I was under, which you were involved in, and I balled those things up, and now here I am 15 years later still going through the same process that you guys took us through. And these ladies are starting to react and do the things that we did as players. So,
they're all the same, Deion. Coach, they're all the same. People are people and they're human beings. You got to treat them like it.
Okay. Well, Coach, you know, I'm so happy that you're able to take some time out. We're about to end this show, and I'm definitely happy to hear that, you know, the Rose Bowl folks had to take second stands to Coach Lee, four quarters of Coach Lee. I'm so happy.
I'll tell you, they had to tonight.
All right. Well, that was Coach Harvey Hyde, former coach at UNLV, former coach at Cal State University of Long Beach, and, again, giving us some heavenly due time and information. So, again, this is Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I'll be back next week. We have special guest George Ma'ulu, who runs the elite football camps and clinics and combines across the nation. He will be giving us more information about what's going on. So right now, I want to say peace, love, and get your football on. I am out. Coach Lee, peace. They're falling off.